The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com. On White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio. We are on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Also, Sports360AZ is our Twitter account and on Facebook as well. Seth Joyner is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Former Arizona Cardinals, Super Bowl winner, has had his time in the NFL, three-time Pro Bowler, and much more. I'm sure that Seth, who talks some trash during his day, not nearly like Richard Sherman, will weigh in on that. I'm sure he has a thought on the Tlaib hit by Wes Welker, the Super Bowl, and all things NFL with Seth Joyner. That comes up in about 15 minutes. News and notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. Paula, my friend, joins me every week on the show to go through all the stuff that's going on in Arizona that she sees. She kind of got after Herb Sendek a little bit over the weekend in her column. I got after Herb a little bit. I hate when I get this, well, you know, it's pretty early and you shouldn't be writing about RPI. No, this program has lost 6 of 7 of their arch rival. You should be upset about that. Talk to the Lopes will come up today in about 45 minutes. Ann Pearson, the head softball coach at GCU. Every week we do a few minutes. Talk to the Lopes. Appreciate the partnership with Grand Canyon University. Our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running. Eric is back in the saddle today. And we're not going to do the whole show on Richard Sherman because that's been done.
No.
It's pretty easy to do that. There are quite a few things going on. I mean, I've got Richard Sherman stuff. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you want me to, I can. You're the guy in charge of this show, so what do you want to do here?
The Facebook question does involve Richard Sherman, but like we do here at Sports360AZ.com, we like to put a little bit of a local spin on it.
Sure.
So we ask you today, regardless of what you thought of Richard Sherman's finger quotes apology yesterday, yes or no, are you, as a Cardinals fan, going to be pulling for your NFC West rival Seahawks to win the Super Bowl next Sunday? Last year, Brad, we could ask the same question with the Niners playing the Ravens. But this year, there's probably a little bit more edge, a little bit more intrigue just because of what happened Sunday afternoon in Seattle. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Like our page and share your input.
Well, I can't talk about the Super Bowl yet because I don't know the weather forecast. You know, I'll get into that in a minute. Just off the top here, I would say I'm pulling for Seattle.
I am too.
I want Seattle to win this game. These Bronco nitwits that are down here in Arizona that just walk around like they've got it all figured out because they have Peyton Manning. And there's more to it than that. Like, I'm going to love watching Richard Sherman, Demaryius Thomas. I think that's going to be tremendous theater to watch. And I want the team in the NFC West because I can sit here all off season and keep reminding the Cardinals, look, last time I checked, you've got to get better because in your division you have the Super Bowl champ from this year. You have the 49ers who are right there. So, no, I like that question.
And it'll be interesting to see because the Cardinals are one of the few teams that have actually gone up to Seattle and won this year.
Yeah.
How will the 12th man travel back east? Because you're probably going to get a split stadium between Seattle and Denver fans, and we all know how much better the Seahawks play at CenturyLink Field, so we'll just have to see. And again, if the weather's bad, that has to favor Seattle because they're used to playing in bad weather.
Sure. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Let's get you caught up some of the things going on in the world of sports on a busy, busy Tuesday, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. You pull on down on that slot, and you got the winnings. The winnings are big at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top, but there's more to it than that. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, head up to Sunrise, enjoy the great climate up there. The winter games have been pushed back to next month, third week in February. They need a little bit more snow, so make your plans now to head up to the winter games. But in between now and then, the Super Bowl's coming up. You might want to just head up there, pull down the slot, have some winnings, eat some great food, have some fun, get away to the high country. It's the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of us since day number one. So locally, the Suns tomorrow night will play Indiana, and the Coyotes last night weren't good. The other stuff that's going on is all the national stuff today that's on my mind. If the weather's bad, I agree with Eric, if the weather's bad for the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to play meteorologists because meteorologists drive me nuts. I've worked with some meteorologists that are very nice people. I've worked with some meteorologists who take themselves entirely too serious, that when the weather doesn't go as they predicted it would, which, by the way, happens a lot here in Arizona, and you make a mention that, boy, you screwed that one. Oh my gosh, they come unglued. It's kind of like me. It's kind of like in our profession. Far be it from any of you to point out to us, boy, you made a really stupid prediction. I make them on the show all the time. But you just got to have some thick skin. Most meteorologists, I have found, just take it entirely too serious. It's the weather. But in this case, it is numero uno. It's not going to be a factor next year when the Super Bowl is here. It might be 55 or it might be 75, but the golf courses will be open. I want it to blizzard. I want it to be the worst whiteout ever. I want it to be minus 40 for the Super Bowl. Just awful. But beside the Super Bowl, it was amazing on Sunday as I was watching the game that Bowman goes down and his leg goes left to right. And here's one of the top players in the game who's down on the ground and they can't figure out how to do replay for every play in a playoff game. He gets taken off the field. He's done. But it's a guy after the game that says something that ends up becoming the biggest story that I've seen in a long time. And you could just see the tidal wave coming on Sunday. And here it is Tuesday. And Richard Sherman is a household name. I think that I believe it was Kent Summers from AZ Central that pointed out that those of us that have been around Richard Sherman have heard this act before. It's not that big of a deal. Richard Sherman's a pretty smart dude, I think. And some of you would disagree with me vehemently on it. Richard Sherman, this was the play that everybody is talking about. Just to give it full context and give you an idea, this is the end of the game.
Shotgun for Kaepernick, takes the snap. Look, fires near side, going for the end zone.
So, and we're not going to give you the Aaron Andrews stuff. Here's Richard Sherman. He regrets now what he said afterwards, getting on Crabtree.
You know, it is what it is. You know, obviously could have worded things better and you know, could have obviously had a better reaction and done things differently. But it is what it is now, and people's reactions are what they are.
So Larry Fitzgerald's tied into this story. Larry Fitzgerald had a charity event here in the Valley, evidently, or here in Arizona, I should say. And from what I've read on this, I haven't talked to Larry about it. And there's been all sorts of accounts. Some have said it's here in Arizona. Some have said it was in Minnesota. I don't know that. I'm going off what I've been reading. But that Sherman's older brother, Branton, told the Seattle Times that Crabtree started the animosity between the two of them several months ago, that both Richard Sherman and Crabtree were at Larry Fitzgerald's charity event over the summer. Sherman approached Crabtree, tried to shake his hand. Crabtree tried to start a fight. Nice. So this goes all the way back involving an Arizona Cardinal and Larry Fitzgerald. So at some point, Larry's got to talk about this. And I've yet to hear him talk about it. Richard Sherman, here's some things. Did you know, or do you know by now, that Richard Sherman went to Compton, grew up in Compton? Did you know that Richard Sherman's dad worked in the sanitation department for the city of Los Angeles for 30 years? Did you know that Richard Sherman graduated from high school with a 4.2 GPA? Not Stanford, from high school in Compton with a 4.2 GPA. If you've never been to Compton and you say, so what, Brad, it doesn't give me any context at all, think of the worst of the worst of the worst where you grew up and then times it by 10. So then he goes to Stanford. He's never been arrested. He started his own charitable nonprofit. This isn't his agent doing spin control. This is Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's a pretty smart dude, though. It's been pointed out here in the last 24 hours of the news cycle what his GPA was at Stanford. Like, people are questioning whether he's stupid or not. I don't know. When I finally get to the Super Bowl, I'm probably going to say some things later that I don't wish I would have said. I'm probably going to say some things that are regrettable. Has he been as contrite as he needs to be? Or is it the other side of the street that Richard Sherman's just a very smart guy? Richard Sherman's a very smart guy. He had the biggest audience there. He went off. His agent had to love it. His marketing people have to love this. He is now the Danny Ainge, to give you a comparison. Either if he's on your team, you love him, and everybody else hates him. So if you're a Seahawks fan, you can't get enough of Richard Sherman. Anywhere else, you hate him. I admire what he's all about on the football field. Could have handled the postgame differently. Not going to hold it against him, because here's the thing. I only care what they do on the field. At the end of the day, he hasn't done anything other than he went off on another player. I'm not saying that, yeah, he can act any way do things that are irresponsible. But my first order as a sports guy is to say, can he play? And if he can play and then stay clear of issues, legal issues, I'm fine with that. He went off after a game. Lots of guys go off after games.
And that's the catch-22, Brad. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. A lot of people say they should just do away with the coach right before halftime, the two meaningless questions, or after the game ends.
Yes.
But when a player actually says something, then it's a whole other issue of, oh, we shouldn't do this. Well, are you going to do it because it's too controversial, or are you not going to do it because it's too boring? There's always that gray area. Plus, there's a reason why athletes have what we call the cooling down period after games.
Sure.
They go in the locker room 10 minutes before speaking to the media. And that's been one of the reoccurring themes with Richard Sherman. Well, maybe he should have just gone to the locker room and then maybe pulled him back on the postgame show with Aaron Andrews.
One of the dumbest things I saw, though, and there were a lot of them with Fox the other night, was, and then there'll be people that'll disagree with me on this, and that's fine. And there are TV people, and you want Richard Sherman over and over and over. I know Marshawn Lynch hasn't talked the last few weeks, but gosh, if you go from Richard Sherman with Aaron Andrews, and then you have Terry Bradshaw try to fumble his way through a Richard Sherman interview and then bring up Aaron Andrews because he's got somebody in his ear saying, you got to ask him about Aaron Andrews. And then you put him on set with the guys that are all waiting to get into their cars to get on their private jets so Michael Strahan can go back to New York City and be cute with Kelly Ripa because he doesn't care. When you put all those things together, it was painful. Like, come on, guys, reach a little further. Just reach, give me a little bit more. You don't have to go to the same guy over and over. But today, oh my gosh, look at all the clicks. There's more to it than that. There's more to the game than just one guy. Got more on that. The NFL trying to eliminate the extra point, the concussion deal. There's a lot on Tanaka and the Diamondbacks today. I'm going to give you some context on that. If the Diamondbacks don't get Tanaka and it's not automatic, it's Matt Garza, we'll go into that. Warren Buffett wants to put $1 billion into March Madness. I'll explain that too as we roll on. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360. Seth Joyner's next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat with you. And we want to welcome all the people that are checking us out on AZCentral.com as we continue expanding by leaps and bounds. We understand AZCentral.com has us up streaming today. We've been working on this partnership for quite some time. Really good people over at AZ Central Sports. Appreciate everything behind the scenes that they've been working on. And as we have this partnership and we continue to unfold, that's at AZCentralSports.com. So let me get over to Tanaka. Seth Joyner is going to join us here momentarily, but Tanaka, the deal on it with Masahiro Tanaka and the Diamondbacks as we sit here on Tuesday is this Friday is the deadline. And as it stands right now, the Chicago Cubs, I talked to some agents over the weekend and some people that, and it's not Casey Close, it's not that agent, but that the Cubs have moved to the forefront in terms of years, dollars, package, everything. Question I have, if you're Tanaka, why would you want to go to the Cubs? Not to get all five of you Cubs fans in the Valley, your hopes up because your team blows as usual. But if you're Tanaka, why would you want to go to Chicago? You'd be at the top of the rotation for a team that's heading nowhere fast. If Tanaka decides to go to the Dodgers, is he the second starter behind Kershaw? Is he the third? If he goes to the Yankees, would he be the second starter? First, where would you roll him in? Because you'd have CC at the top. You'd have Kuroda. You'd have Tanaka. So from the Yankees' point of view, is he the main guy? If he's the Diamondbacks guy, he is the guy at the top of the rotation, in my opinion. E, am I overstepping that? If Tanaka's here?
He's the ace.
Yeah.
And Derek Hall came on the show three, four weeks ago before Christmas and said, pretty much admitted that, yeah, if he comes here, he is the number one guy.
Yeah, let's not sit here and sugarcoat this or try to spin it that, well, he's just going to fit in. And, if Gibby does one of these, if they were able to get him, if Gibby does one of these, well, we'll see where he fits in. No. Let's not sit here and screw this thing up. He's the top of the rotation now, today. Not four starts, five starts. He's starting over in Australia, and then he comes back here. That's the way it is. But what if the Diamondbacks don't get Tanaka? The options to me are, and the other teams are weighing this too. Would the Yankees go throw crazy money at, say, Irvin Santana, who wants $100 million. There's not a chance I'm giving Irvin Santana $100 million to be at the top of my rotation. Ubaldo Jimenez. Would Ubaldo Jimenez make sense maybe as your third starter on a one-year deal? I'd consider that if I were the Diamondbacks. Do I want to give Matt Garza $70 million?
No. No, and you have to be careful not to throw money just to fill a slot.
Well, that's the thing.
That's who, if the Diamondbacks don't get Tanaka, that's clearly going to be something that they have to consider. So,
so when you are looking at the options, Bronson Arroyo is another name that's out there too. I would consider Bronson Arroyo, but again, on a short contract. What I don't want to do if I'm the Diamondbacks is tie up a bunch of money in one of these guys, just to pacify some of you to say, hey, look, we did something. We didn't get Tanaka, but we're pretty happy. Now, if it's Matt Garza at a favorable number, then I'd go that direction. I would look that direction, but if it's a favorable number, it's a long shot. It's 40-60 from the baseball people I've talked to that the Diamondbacks are going to get him. But this week is the week where this is all going to come to a head. It's going to be this week. So keep an eye out on that. As mentioned, Super Bowl talk, Richard Sherman, much, much more. Seth Joyner joins us now for a couple of minutes. Former Arizona Cardinal, three-time Pro Bowler, Denver Broncos Super Bowl champ, previewing the Super Bowl, and much, much more. How you been? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing good, man. I apologize for the mix-up. You know, I'm getting old, man. I got to get to the gym every day. I just completely forgot.
No, you're good. You're good. What okay. do you mean you got to get to the gym every day? Are you not a playing weight? Are you fat?
No, but I'm trying to make sure I'm not an ex-fat football player.
There's a lot of those going around, you know.
Well, that's what I'm trying to prevent.
Seth was the original, first ever NFL Network analyst. When they launched it, it was Seth Joyner that was the guy. And I always bring that up because his insight is very, very good. Richard Sherman has dominated the news. My take, it's after a game, you're going to the Super Bowl, you're going to lose your mind. Did he say things that were regretful? Sure. Am I willing to excuse it in the heat of the moment? Seth, actually, I am. How about you?
Well, you know, I feel the same way. You know, I just got tired of hearing about it. Last night, I put a post up on my Facebook page, and I just basically said, you know, in the heat of the moment, right after a game, something like this was bound to happen. You know, the emotion of the game, the adrenaline of the moment, and the NFL's desire to, you know, enhance the fan experience by having these in the moment, on the field, right after the game interviews. You know, hey, the guy was just full of adrenaline and fully hyped that they were going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, looking back on it, I'm sure he'll regret. He already has regretted, you know, the incident. And, you know, his public image will take, you know, somewhat of a hit from it. But at the end of the day, he'll grow and become a better person for it. I don't think it speaks at all to the person that Richard Sherman is. You know, sometimes, you know, we make mistakes and we say things in the heat of the moment that we wish we could take back. But, you know, I kind of like the guy. I like his bravado. I like his brashness, you know, in this era of political correctness, you mm-hmm. know. Of, you know, every guy being Captain Obvious, you know, when you ask him a question, you know, he wears his emotions out on his sleeve. And I kind of like it. But, you know, I think he knows that he could have and should have dealt with this situation in a much, much different way. And, you know, he'll be better for it. You know, people just need to lighten up.
Do you ever lose your mind after a game and say something you regretted?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
What did you say? Come on, Seth.
I mean, some of it I can't even say on the air, you know, especially, you know, my latter days in Philadelphia, you know, the last 3 years, really playing for a coach that I really didn't respect that much. And, you know, we lost a game in Green Bay, you know, that we shouldn't have lost. And the media knew, you know, they didn't even give me a chance to get out of my uniform. They was at my locker. I still had my helmet on, and I was just letting whatever came to my mind fly. You know, and after the fact, do you kind of regret it? Because, you know, you kind of cringe when you go back and listen to your own words. But in the moment, you know, that's what's going to happen. You know, sometimes I think the best thing to do is let these guys take a shower, let them get dressed, let them calm down a little bit, let the adrenaline and the excitement of the moment subside. And then, you know, guys can give an insightful, calm interview after the fact rather than in the moment.
Is Seth Joyner with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes, three-time Pro Bowler, Denver Broncos Super Bowl champ on Sports 360 AZ, also AZ Central. Appreciate AZ Central now part of what we do here on a day-in and day-out basis. When you look at Richard Sherman and the story just in the cycle itself, race has been brought into this a little bit, and I think wrongly. So race is, I think, a pretty easy card for people to go to, that here's a kid that should be better educated, that should know, and then it comes out, yeah, he graduated from Compton High with a 4-point GPA, went to Stanford. I don't see any race in here. I never see color. Do you see any racism towards Sherman?
Well, you know, Brad, I'm of the belief, and I know, you know, as, you know, someone who worked in the media, someone who's blogged before, someone, you know, who's active on Twitter and Facebook, you know, that race is an issue in this country. It will always be a race, an issue in this country. And, you know, sometimes particularly for, you know, for athletes to a certain extent. There are those that believe that athletes are playing a game and earn more money than most people in one game than most people earn in an entire year. I understand that. I sympathize with that. But at the end of the day, there's a market for it, and the owners would never pay what they couldn't afford to pay. Mm. That being said, you know, it's a form of entertainment. Just like you go to the movies to be entertained, you go to a sports event, and you watch a sporting event to be entertained. There are those people that have an issue with professional athletes making the kind of money that they make, and given the fact that, you know, a pretty good percentage of the players in the NFL and a lot of other sports are African American or Hispanic American, there's going to be some backlash. You know, attitudes are something that you can't change. You know, I don't think any of us are born with a bit of racism in our body. The environment in which we grow up in and the raising that we come up with, you know, shapes how we think and how we believe until we either become smart enough or educated enough to deal with the situation in a different way. Or, you know, you encounter, you know, someone who makes you look at life in a completely different way. You know, so this was just an opportunity for, you know, someone with a bigoted attitude or racist attitude to take advantage of this because, you know, Richard Sherman is black. And, you know what, hey, he's just acting the way that black people act, you know. And you know, you can't do anything to change those ideals and how people think. You just roll with it like anything else. You know, as ignorant as that statement is, you know, to me, it's just as ignorant to assume that because he's black, he acts that way.
Mm-hmm. On the field, Wes Welker's pick on Tlaib. Clean play, dirty play?
You know, I mean, I would have to see it, you know, from the top. A top view to really tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's intentionally running towards the guy, you know, to pick him off, it's like, you know, there were a few instances. I think there was a play in that game where, you know, they missed a pick for Denver. I mean, Denver does a lot of that pick stuff too that the referees just don't or didn't call. But I think that, you know, when you talk about those kinds of plays, the NFL really needs to do something with regards. Because, I mean, you're trailing a guy to cover him man-to-man, and all of a sudden you just get blindsided, you know. So I'm not sure 100% whether, you know, it was legal or illegal, but I do know that play changed the complex of the game because up until that point in time, you didn't even hear Demaryius Thomas even being mentioned. And all of a sudden, Tlaib goes out of the game, and this guy just goes off.
Right. Well, and now you look at Demaryius Thomas against Richard Sherman. For everything that Sherman's being talked about this week, I'm trying to advance the story and look ahead to on the field. I can't think of a better matchup in this game than those two going head-to-head with the whole backdrop of the Sherman story. And Thomas has had a terrific season.
Well, he has. I mean, they both have had great, you know, great seasons. And, you know, what better fit, what better scenario, you know, for the NFL and the Super Bowl than to have, you know, the most prolific offense of the year, record-setting offense of the year against the number one defense in the game. And hey, you know, in all probability, you know, the you know, defensive player of the year in Richard Sherman, you know, could be, should be, but probably won't be after this incident. but one of the better cornerbacks, if not the best cornerbacks in the game, against, you know, a guy like Demaryius Thomas, who's just had a phenomenal year. There are a lot of great storylines, a lot of great matchups, and a lot to debate over the next week and a half as to, you know, what possibly could be, what might be, you know, given, you know, this defense's ability to shut offenses down and this offense's ability to just literally take defenses apart.
Before I let you go, I want to go back on the Bowman injury. So the play's not reviewable. Should every play in the NFL be reviewable, in your view?
Absolutely. I mean, what's the point of the intent for instant replay and being able to review it has always been to get it right. Am I right?
Yeah.
So if that's the intent, then no play should ever be excluded from being reviewed. You know, and I get what the NFL is trying to do. Oh, we don't want to make it seem like the referees are being questioned on every single call. But when it comes down to it, you know, I think the referees should be, you know, as invisible as possible. I mean, I think
it's the NFC title game, and he's on the ground with the ball with his legs snapped, and he's got the ball, and you can't review that?
Well,
that's,
you know,
the thing to me. It's one of the great – it doesn't matter if it's a backup linebacker. It's one of the great players in the game, and he's laid out doing what he's supposed to do, make a great play, and they can't review it.
Well, they should. You know, I agree wholeheartedly. Every single play should be able to be reviewable because the point of instant replay, it should be to get it right on every single play. Don't leave any gray area, anything. We just want to get it right, you know, and – that play should have been reviewed. I mean, for the ref to turn and tell Jim Harbaugh that you can't review that, you know, I think is just atrocious. Because once he's got the ball and he's on the ground and a Seahawk touches him, that play is dead. Yeah. The ball belongs to the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep, yep. Hey, before I let you go, who do you like in the Super Bowl? Who's going to win it?
You know, man, I'm just teetering. I'm like the line right now, you know. 2 points for Denver, 2 points Seattle. Because to be honest with you, it's just this is going to be a tough game to pick. And I might probably won't, you know, I'll be probably writing some stuff throughout, you know, the next week and a half, but I probably won't pick to write up before, you know, the game.
I have to know how the weather's going to be before I pick. I have to know because that's going to be a factor.
It's going to be cold. I grew up and lived like 15 miles from there. Okay, so I can assure you, at this time of the year, it's going to be cold. Now, it might rain, it might snow, it might be windy, but one thing I can assure you, it's going to be in the low 30s, if not colder. I'm always leaning towards great defenses. I think that Seattle has all the intangibles to match up across the board. You know, they can take away the run, they can be physical at the line of scrimmage with the Denver wide receivers, which most teams aren't equipped to do. They can generate a pass rush with just four, or they can come with five. I mean, they've got the perfect storm, you know, to make life miserable along with the weather for Peyton Manning. So I'm kind of leaning that way, but, you know, hey, you know, when I look at Peyton Manning, what he's overcome, you know, sometimes it's not wise to bet against destiny.
I love reading your stuff. Sometime come in studio, and we'll talk further about what you're doing.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll work it out. Thanks, Seth.
Always a pleasure, man. Take
care. Stay well. Seth Joyner there for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. Paula Bova, News and Notes on the other side. She got after Herb Sendak the other day in her column on AZ Central. I shouldn't say got after. She pointed out this is a big stretch for him. You cannot, with Utah and Colorado, stub your toe. And I'm sure she's got some Richard Sherman thoughts, too. Also, talk to the Lopes softball coach Ann Pearson a little bit later on. GCU, part of what we do every day, every week here on sports360az.com. On White Mountain Radio, on Twitter, on AZ Central. We're a lot of different places. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at sports360az. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Always good to have Paula Bovin with us. News and notes, my friend, columnist for the Arizona Republic, azcentral.com. Our show now being streamed today on azcentral.com, as well as on White Mountain Radio, as well as Sports 360 AZ, a number of different places. A historic moment, Paula, that we're actually joining forces. Pretty cool. How are you?
It's very cool. I'm good, Brad. Thanks.
You got after Herb Sendek a little bit. I wouldn't say all over Herb Sendek, but you pointed out in your column that it is time this week to not stub your toe, I think is the best way to put it. Am I right?
Yeah, and I didn't, you know, and I kind of handled it like that because I think we need to sort of see what happens down the stretch. But, I mean, I can feel, and I'm sure you have too, the restlessness in that athletic department with where this basketball program is going. It's been tricky to get on Herb, I think, over the past few years because he's had, you know, all these 20-plus win seasons, and you think, huh, you know, he's not doing a bad job. But when you look at their inability to get in the tournament, I think they've only been in once since Herb's been there. Yeah, this is a make-or-break year for him in my mind.
Well, they've lost 6 of 7 to the U of A.
Right.
And I know most ASU fans could care less about basketball. They want to know when spring football is. Most U of A fans could care less about football because they don't know how to get to the Rose Bowl unless they buy a ticket. But the basketball program at the U of A clearly has national title written all over it. So when you lose 6 of 7 to your arch rival, there is going to be some angst. I think add to that, there's, okay, when Jahi leaves, what does he really have to work with? And I just get a malaise around the athletic department. I went to a game in November, and then I went to a game, it was late December, as a fan. I didn't ask for credit or anything. I just went. And they were doing the same sorts of things in the way of ticket promotions and readers and stuff on the video board. I just didn't get a sense there was anything new. It was kind of like, oh, gosh, we got to do a basketball game tonight. And if you want to go get a salesperson, let's just say that this doesn't work out for Herb. And I'm not ready to pull the plug, but clearly the seat is warm. Clearly it's worth having the discussion. If you want to go get somebody that gets people excited, like a Bruce Pearl, I think that's just a salesperson, I would not be opposed to that. I'm not going to say that that's the direction they have to go today, but anybody who's not thinking that this is a make or break year for Herb is just delusional, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the U of A thing, and I don't even think that's as big of a deal, and I know that sounds sacrilegious, but the reality is I think UA is unique, and it's just not anything ASU is, and I can ever see, at least in my lifetime of ASU catching up. I mean, they've just got this momentum. They've got that arena where it just stands. That environment Thursday was unbelievable. You know, they hired a great coach who's kind of kept this momentum going of what Lute Olson started, so... But it's just this inability to take that next step with the program, and it seemed like we had progress. But every time they get these great players, and I think there's been, you know, these three in the last few years from Ike to James to Jahi, they're not building off that experience, and it comes down to recruiting, and it just they cannot get enough really good players to surround these few unique guys they do get. So I think that's a legitimate issue.
AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin with Brad Sussmat. Let me take the other side of the street, the people that are defending Herb. He graduates players. He is able to keep kids out of trouble. Now, that hasn't always been the case, but give me a program that hasn't had trouble. I always say that just some programs are better at covering it up because you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old knuckleheads sometimes. He is a pleasure to deal with. He's a very, 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 very good X and O guy.
Right.
Okay. So there are those attributes about her, but the program is just kind of sitting there, I think, right now. And their RPI, I wrote over the weekend, their RPI is at 70. And of course I have people saying it's too early to write about RPI. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not too early to point out you've got work to do. That's the problem is when you put this off.
Right. And that's, you know, that's such an obviously important number when we're making those postseason decisions. And, you know, and quite frankly, both of us, Brad, we've covered a lot of coaches over the years. And I don't know if I've met a more of a true gentleman, for lack of maybe of a better description of Herb. I mean, he's a decent guy. I think and I've heard from other people who have worked with him that even sometimes his honesty and sincerity hurts him in the recruiting world. He can't, you know, he doesn't have that sort of salesman pitch, and he's very honest with players about what these recruits, what's going to happen with them in the future. And, And there's an art, I think, in the recruiting world of being honest, but also, you know, having that energy and being able to sell a program. And so, you know, I would love to see him succeed because I think he's so good for the sport of how of what he preaches
yeah.
and everything
no,
else.
I
but
too.
That doesn't matter anymore in college basketball. In college sports, in football and basketball, it has to be more than that. You have to win, and I think that's the conclusion ASU is coming to.
What do you make out of Richard Sherman?
Oh, this has been just a fascinating storyline for me to watch because, you know, there's a knee-jerk reaction of what an idiot he is, and then people start simmering down a little bit, and, then, you know, it keeps going back and forth. I thought his comments were obnoxious. It's not the comments you want when your kid is watching TV to see, but I'm also a strong believer in you sort of judge a person over their career and their life and not just one moment. And I don't think that's necessarily a reflection of the type of person he is. And, you know, I'll be honest, and I think I'm addressing this in my column tomorrow, that I think we have to look a little bit at the racist aspect of it. I don't think it's prevailing, but the thug comments, you know, I mean, just think of what happened at ASU this weekend with that fraternity. I don't know how much you followed that story.
Yeah, no, I've seen it.
But if 18 and 19 and 20-year-old kids are thinking that's okay, then that means there's 30 and 40 and 50-year-olds that have some real issues out there as well. And so some, I think a little bit of that reaction has some racist ties to it.
I just talked to Seth Joyner about that before.
Oh, okay.
And
what did he think about it?
He was really, really – well, he addressed it's long. I mean, I can't replay it for you, and I don't want to just summarize it in a line or two.
Right.
But he went headlong into it, and Seth is very articulate on that subject.
Very good.
Anything else you're working on?
No, I'm just kind of juggling a lot of things right now, and I was out at the Suns this past weekend, and it just really the vibe there is kind of interesting. Talking to Lon Babby, and everybody seems to sort of be in a good place, and I'm wondering where it's going to go from here, if they're going to be able to build on that.
Well, tomorrow night's game against Indiana is a litmus test.
Yep.
Let's see where you are. It's great that you've come this far. I want to hear more about Jeff Hornacek and Ryan McDonough than I do Lon Babby. It's not Lon Babby that's been doing this. It's Ryan McDonough and Jeff Hornacek.
Right.
I mean, Lon, stay out of the way. I mean, if you're looking for credit, stay out of the way. You and Robert just have a seat and enjoy it and figure out the financial stuff and just do your thing. But
well,
let these guys.
It seems to be kind of happening that way, though, don't you think? I mean,
I'm still getting people that are saying that, you know, they want to get the pat on the back for look at what I've done. No, that's not what it's about. That's not because this thing was an absolute disaster, a train wreck. And so let's not just sit here a year later and say we got it all figured out. They've done some very good things.
Yeah. So done, but more to prove, no question.
Yeah. And Indiana's here tomorrow night. Indiana almost took out the Heat last year. It's a big game. I hope there's some buzz around it. I'll let you go off that. Stay well.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. She joins me every week, my friend. On the other side, talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University, big part of what we do. Softball head coach Ann Pearson for a couple of minutes. In about 10 minutes, we're going to reset Richard Sherman, the weather, the elimination of the extra point, rules changes, Tanaka. I've got more on Tanaka I didn't get to. And Warren Buffett is betting $1 billion on this year's NCAA tournament. $1 billion for you to win. I'll tell you about that, too, as we roll on a busy Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat, AZ Central, now streaming us on a daily basis, our website. Sports360AZ.com, on White Mountain Radio, on Twitter, Facebook, we're all sorts of places. Thanks for being with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com, now streaming as well on AZ Central Sports, AZCentral.com. Appreciate AZ Central partnering up with us. It's time for Talk to the Lopes. Grand Canyon University, a big part of what we do, is they continue to grow by leaps and bounds. This week on Talk to the Lopes, Ann Pearson, the head softball coach. Ann has been there at GCU getting it done. Three of the last 4 years, they've gone to the postseason. The longtime coach at GCU on Talk to the Lopes this week. How are you, Ann?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So let's just get to the heart of the matter. Going from where you were with the program to Division I this year, how big of a change has that been for you? Or are you recruiting the same sorts of players?
Well, it's obviously a big change for us as well as everybody else in the department. And, you know, I would say we're still recruiting the top players. You know, our philosophy has been, you know, go find the great players who are great students and quality kids. And, you know, and we've lost some to some of the big schools, but we've also, you know, beat them head-to-head for some of these kids. And now, being at the Division I level, we're getting a lot more interest from a lot of these kids. And you know, we've been able to branch certainly into Southern Cal, although we do have the majority of our players are from Arizona. But we've also been able to branch into Texas. And I think that's new because of the Division I transition.
When you are building a program, Ann, and you look at Arizona, and Arizona State had great success. Clint's now left over there. Your program, you were at ASU as a player. You're at GCU. What is your selling point to players in state to come play at GCU?
Well, you know, again, with the Division I level, you know, they're going to have the opportunity to play with the best and against the best. You know, and really trying to compare our university with Arizona State is such a apples to oranges, in my opinion, with the small campus size, with the Christian affiliation. You know, so we've really been able to sell that, the small classroom sizes. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we're going after quality students as well. And, you know, so that the academic side is really a big draw. They want to stay home. They want to stay close to home. And then certainly have their parents, you know, have an opportunity to come and see them play because they're used to that growing up. So, you know, it's and kind of the mentality we're looking at, too, is we're starting something, you know, now in the transition that we want kids to want to be a part of. Instead of riding someone else's coattails, let's start something big here. So.
No, I get it. I get it. My daughter goes to GCU, so I totally get what you're talking about in terms of class size and all that. But
sure.
I think it would help that U of A, ASU, club softball, there's a lot of softball here in this state.
Yes.
And so it gives girls a tremendous opportunity that doesn't matter. There's only so many in-states that you can go to, but yours is very unique compared to the other softball programs at the collegiate level here in state.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, when I first actually took the job 12 years ago, that was one of the big draws for me was I knew I would be able to recruit primarily in-state mm-hmm. and stay home. And we've had tremendous kids come through this program, and we've been very fortunate to have a lot of the players we've had, and certainly with the current team and the past few teams, we've had quite a bit of success. And, you know, we're certainly proud of them, and we're going to continue with that high standard. You know, and the mentality is, well, if you want to go to Arizona State, all right, well, then we're gonna move on to the next one, because like you said, there's only the three opportunities in the Valley at the Division I level for kids to stay home and compete. And we're certainly happy to be one of them and go head to head with U of A and ASU.
Ann Pearson with us, head softball coach at Grand Canyon University. Talk to the Lopes with Grand Canyon University, GCU, and Sports360AZ.com, a winning combination. Do you prefer a kid that does club? Do you recruit club kids first or high school kids first?
You know, I would say the majority of our players are playing club. But you know, honestly, we've gone out to watch some high school games. I love to watch high school games, and we've moved our practice time the last couple of years, and we practice from 12 to 3, so it frees us up then to go watch the afternoon high school games, and I really enjoy watching them. And you know, it's fun for that. You know, it's a different mentality instead of a lot of the showcases.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing for the pride of their school, and they're learning a lot of different life lessons from playing high school ball. And there's a lot of great high school coaches out there. You know, we've lucked our way into a few kids when we've gone out to watch kids that we were interested in and then just happened to see somebody else. And then, you know, we've had a handful of those kids come in as well.
Because there is the and I talk to this with baseball coaches. I'll talk to Stanky about this. How much is too much for a kid? Because I've done the club softball thing with my daughters.
Uh-huh.
It is interminable. It is so long. Okay. I'm not bagging on it. It's just, it's a lot to ask junior high and high school girls to go do the club thing and versus maybe pull back a little bit. I'm getting to is how much is too much in your sport for kids?
Well, I think, you know, their schedules are crazy. You know,
yeah.
They go the entire month of January, start high school ball up in February, and finish into May, and then they start right up again in June, and they'll take that all the way through the summer, maybe get a couple weeks off after Nationals and start up again. So, you know, I know with our recruiting calendar, they set a recruiting calendar so coaches didn't have to be out every weekend. In fact, we can't be out every weekend. We go into a quiet period for the entire month of December, so we can't be out recruiting. And, you know, I really think it's a lot, but my daughter's only 13 and she's playing club, and we haven't really gotten into that crazy serious scheduling yet. And,
it's coming,
and
Coach.
And I got to say I'm thankful for it because
Coach, it's coming.
I'm already recruiting in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me, well, there's two things. One, I wish there were kids that were more two-sport athletes, but there doesn't seem to be that opportunity because if they're trying to play volleyball or soccer or basketball or, you know, running cross-country or track or any of those sports in high school, then it kind of it overlaps with their club season. And sometimes, you know, either or, you know, both the coaches aren't understanding of that. And, you know, and I would prefer a well-rounded athlete. We've got a couple kids that, you know, we are planning on having coming in here that are great soccer players in the state, and I'm not going to tell them they can't play soccer, you know.
Sure.
So I think that's unfortunate, but, you know, I think it's really up to the parents because you kind of get into that mix, and you would know this, of, well, if we're not playing and out being seen, other kids are, and then we're going to miss out. And I think that's why it's gotten so crazy. And I know they're talking about limiting tournaments and certifying tournaments. I know basketball does that to try to eliminate so many tournaments. But, you know, they're going to play whether the coaches are out there or not. They're going to play. So, you know, we just have to pick and choose whatever we're going to go to. But, you know, I'd really like to see the well-rounded athletes. We've had two and three sport stars come in, and they might be a little bit behind in softball, but then once they're doing it every day, they pick it right up because they're just great athletes.
No, I get it. Good luck this season. I appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes, Ann. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ann Pearson there, the head coach at Grand Canyon University softball. That is Talk to the Lopes that we do every week. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I talk about Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and company. They do it right. They've been a part of what we've done here at Sports 360 AZ for the last 3 years now. Whenever I stop into Santan Ford, I'll be in this afternoon. A couple weeks ago, I had a tire on my new vehicle, my new Fusion, and it was flat. I was like, I've only had this for about a month. What's the deal? And went on in there, and it was a defective tire. Happens. In the service department, got right after it. Took care of it. I'm stopping back in today to make sure it's balanced correctly. They called to check up and say, how's things going? At the service department, when I was there, there was a half dozen people that were sitting there waiting, and they were being checked on by the service advisors. It's good to see that the service side, when Santan Ford says it's all about you, General Manager Tim Hovick means it. That's at Santan Ford, where it is all about you, santanford.com. Warren Buffett. So I got to get into this deal with Warren Buffett after the break. Warren Buffett has put up $1 billion with a B around the March Madness. And the reason that he's put up that amount of money, I'll explain why. And it's for you to win something different, something unique, for you to win with March Madness. That's coming up on the other side. Much more on Richard Sherman. What's going on in Arizona? We're Arizona-centric. Very local, what's going on in Arizona. Brad Sussmad with you on azcentral.com now today. Of course, on sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio on Twitter, and on Facebook as well.